Hey, welcome back. It's Ultra. I hope that you're doing super good. I almost forgot to come on here because I just started to do a little bit of a visibility challenge. I guess it's a challenge. I guess it's a challenge for me to be on camera. It's a weird thing because I don't hate it. I don't care. I don't have a problem with my appearance. I just don't want to go through the discomfort of having to do it. I don't want to be on camera. But I discovered something awesome today, so I wanted to share it with you. So I was attempting to podcast simultaneously at the same time that I was going live on Facebook. And I truly forgot about what I was recording, and I let the podcast just keep going. But anyways, that's not what's important. What's important is because I started to go back and forth on the pages because I was on Facebook. I started to go back and forth on the pages to read one of these methods that I was sharing. I was sharing the Quantum Tantra pleasure practice, right? Which essentially is a modernized sex magic. I wouldn't even call it a modernized sex magic. It's just like how I use it. Just like many, like, different rituals, just like many practices, just like meditations, there's a lot of ways that you can do it. So this is my way. And because I was sharing some of the details and I didn't want to miss any step, I was going back and forth on my screen. And I realized that the moment that I wasn't looking at myself, like I was talking to myself, I like was able to relax and kind of have fun and just feel like myself. And I was like, oh my God. I had that moment where I never felt like myself, truly myself, doing a live. Maybe if I was inside a Facebook group and I felt kind of like safe space or whatever. But I realized that it's like what made me uncomfortable was like talking to me, having like my image to talk to. And I know that it's like not a super big deal. I feel like millennials and younger people are like accustomed to that. But like talking to someone, like just looking at the camera, it makes me feel more comfortable because I feel like I'm connected with someone beyond, or like right now, if I'm talking to you, I feel like this could be a phone conversation or something like that, where I'm like swinging my hands around and I'm moving, I'm making faces, but I'm being myself and I'm not watching myself be myself. And so I don't have to audit myself. I don't have to go be like, oh, you're laughing too big, or like all those weird messages that we get sometimes, and when we're just like judging ourselves for no reason at all, you're just like, well, I have a big smile, but I like my big smile. But in the moment, you're just like, stop smiling, or you just kind of do some weird stuff in the, I guess, maybe the nervousness, the newness of it all. But I realized, I was like, oh, I unlocked the code. Now, I want to tell you what was really special about it was because the day before, I had gone live and I was like, I really want to do this challenge because of the comfort factor. I think I was at home here in my podcast, obviously, my favorite place to be with my favorite people in the entire world. But I had gotten really comfortable there, right? I can podcast while I'm driving, which was an added benefit, but then it turned out to be like a reason for me not to have to change out of my pajamas. Now, that doesn't mean that I gotta change out of my pajamas. Like, that means that I get to decide if I want to show up on Facebook Live in pajamas. Because a while ago, I started doing this thing where I create my own rules. I dictate to myself what are the things that I can experience the way that I want to experience them. Now, you have some people that would say, well, you have to live the part. You have to emit this energy. And I do believe that is true, but I don't think that emitting your energy and vibrating a certain frequency has anything to do with your outer appearance. Now, you might be in the frequency of abundance and pleasure and satisfaction, and then you, from that energy, go to the closet and pick something, and when you put it on, it expands that emotion, and you feel great, and you feel fantastic. I was sharing with my daughter the other day, who is 21, and I was like, we don't really know that the things that we're looking at are real. We don't know. I was like, you know, with body dysmorphia, which is something that she kind of struggles with a little bit, and she doesn't have it from the sense of like your mind is altering your features, but from her perspective and her diagnosis, it's kind of like she becomes overly obsessed with something, with a feature or with something about the future, right? It's more like an obsession. But what I know to be true is that your mind can bend realities and move it. And even a good example for me to show you and demonstrate what this is like, you can take your phone right now. Obviously, you can pause me after you listen to the directions and then come back to me. But you literally can take your phone and put the camera on and move it forward and backwards. And you can see your face changing based on the lens that's on your camera on your phone. And if you are to trust what you see, you would see an image that looks very different than what you really see in real life. But if you don't have access to really knowing what you look like, you can look at the camera that's reflecting to you something. You know, you can look through that lens. Most of the time in these cameras, they have wide angle lenses, which it's a cool thing because it captures more of the scene, but then it distorts the scene more too. So the photo that you looks amazing. What you're really looking at is this lens. You're looking at a photo that it doesn't quite matter what you look like. You feel great. So then that's what's portrayed. But then it's like, well, you end up looking great because you were feeling great, right? So it's like a cause and effect type of thing. But it always starts with vibration. It always starts from the inside out. So what I realize is that, first of all, it's not normal for me to have a conversation where I'm just looking at myself. I thought I was like a little self-absorbed and a little, I would say narcissistic from the old terms, which is like in love with your face, not narcissistic like the psychological, you know, mental illness that we now tend to use it to describe people. But like kind of back from the, you know, the story of where Narciso, I don't know the Greek pronunciation, but that's the Spanish one. Like he just fell in love with his own image. So I realized that, oh, if I just, I don't have to like turn off the camera or not be on camera. I simply can't look at myself because I think that what's happening is I might be judging myself instead of freely operating under like the guidance. So for example, right now I just like share and move and do all the things that I am completely animated, completely me, because I'm not having to witness myself and watch myself. I'm just being me. So anyways, not a big deal, but I realize that sometimes the things that you feel nervous about, they reveal that you are nervous for the wrong reasons, right? And it's not until you walk through the experience that you have a sense of whether this is something that's for you or not for you. If there's a challenge in here, is there something in here? Now, what I mean is I didn't feel like there was a strong need for me to go on Facebook Lives and calling clients that way, even though I know that's just like a natural progression of what would naturally happen if I made this decision, because this is a rule, because I've seen other people do it. This is, you know, in the field of potentialities, this is something I can just grab onto, and I have evidence through other people and I could run with it, right? Ultimately, what I started to see and understand is that vibration really is what gives you the opportunity to take on a certain behavior. And that you can't really clear certain limitations from your vibration until you're kind of experiencing them in a way. So for example, you might do enough vibrational work, vibrational alignment to get you to the point where you're manifesting money on a consistent basis. From your path of least resistance. It might not be your business, but it might be some other path. And it's just steadily coming in, and it just feels normal, it feels natural, it feels like, oh yeah, cool. Not like, yay, oh my God, I'm rich, but it feels like, yeah, this is the expected income, this is how it is. And it starts to feel natural and normal, right? And you start to feel comfortable, but you have to understand that at some point that was uncomfortable. That was like, if I look back and think, oh my God, like, is our income seriously 26K? Is our income seriously? Okay, I'm gonna be dead serious, dead honest with you. My boyfriend was just like, oh, I'm going somewhere. And it totally, like, I was like, what are you talking about? Leave me alone. This is the second time that I've gotten into this, like, serious kind of vibe of where, like, I'm so excited about what I'm sharing. And he interrupts me. But that's okay. The reason this is happening, the reason I know this is going to happen is because I've stepped into this place of just being outside the edge of my discomfort, right? Now, it's not so uncomfortable that I'm paralyzed by fear, but I did start to have these ideas like, wait, why am I'm not camera shy? Like, what's the thing? Now, here's what I realized. Like having money, like taking on a new thing, you gotta experience it. And the way that I really, like, it really locked in for me, it was through yoga. But it wasn't while I was doing yoga, it was something that came back to memory, something that I experienced in yoga. And so I practiced Kundalini yoga. And I remember that any single time that I was doing yoga, I wouldn't really push myself. I would, you know, like a lot of teachers tell you, just, you know yourself, know your limits, go as far as you can, blah, blah, blah. So I always sort of meet myself, I think, at the edge of comfort and discomfort. But right before I would get uncomfortable, I just stayed in my comfort level, meaning I wouldn't do the poses all the way. So, for example, if I did them correctly, my posture, if I held it correctly, then I would give myself an out by saying, well, you did it correctly, you had the correct form, but you couldn't possibly hold in that long. And that's okay. Like, you have to give yourself a lot of credit and stop making yourself wrong. But I just started to notice that I would always just fall slightly short from feeling like I did it all the way. Okay, I'm going to chew my Altoid. I got these strawberry ones and they're so yummy. But I realized I can't be sucking on this thing and trying to talk. So I'm biting it. So I can continue. Okay. So I realized that I was kind of half-assing it. So, or if I went the distance, right? If I did the Kundalini practice all the way, I would, like, cheat a lot, which, again, it's okay because I was, I suppose, doing the best that I could in that at that time. I think I was feeling like, okay, this is okay. This is as good as I'm able to do within my mindset at the time. And so I realized, because one of my teachers, the teacher that I would practice, it was online, but it was still like my teacher. She said something, it must be experienced. No, she said it must be practiced to be experienced. And I've heard, you know, I've had certain experiences with certain yogas and meditation and a combination thereof. But it really hit me when she said, if you really want to know, if you really want to understand the value, the magic, what is the potential here for you, you're going to have to do these practices with intention. You're going to want to practice these practices from this place of, I can do this. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to try it. I'm going to do the best form possible, as well as for the length of time my teacher is doing it for. I'm going to at least strive and hold it. I'm going to try. And it wasn't until I took on that perspective of, like, what if I did it all the way? What if I just pretended that I could do it all the way and just went for it? And it was always this thin edge between, I'm doing the practices and I'm doing it every day, but this added bonus of this kind of perfection, right? Not perfectionism, but like stepping into, like, can I, and this is something that it helped me a lot, was, am I giving it my best? Is this the best that I can do right now? Am I giving it my all? And now, one of the reasons that came about was because in some of the practices that I do and some of the ways that I honor myself, I was looking at my core values, my blueprint, the thing that makes me, the things that makes me joy, that give me joy, the feelings and emotions that guide my light, guide my life, my wantings. And one of the things was significance. Okay, y'all, I lost my train of thought. So let me grab something to drink. when my assistant is with me, she's so awesome. She's always giving me, taking me back on track. She's like, you were just saying this. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I grab it. But needless to say, I can't believe it just has such a brain fart. It is okay. It's not a problem. We will proceed. We will continue. Okay. So I'm back on track. So anyways, it was this experience of you need to do it as good as possible. So you actually get to experience all the potential that's there for you. Because like the thing was that if you half-ass it, you won't see the benefits. It'll take you longer to get to the benefit, right? So then the matter of time becomes of more of the questioning of, can I do this better? Is this the best that I can do it? Am I giving it my all? Am I able to have the integrity of giving myself this full experience for 30 minutes, for an hour, however long this practice is going to be? You know, and the times that there's parts in Kundalini yoga that, and I'm imagining other types of yoga, but that you want to stop and you just, and your body is just like, okay, we could stop, and you could, but then there's another part of you that just gets into this rhythm and you just follow the rhythm back and forth without no thought. And you get to this place, and I've hit this place many, many times where you do feel like you're transcended, like you go somewhere, even if it's for a short time. And you do come back and then have peace and have some, like, a tangible result, something you can hold because you have an experience. So from this experience, you can then make another decision. Just be like, was that a good experience? Was it a bad experience? Is that an aligned experience? Okay, so how do I bring this to my Facebook Live? Well, I just don't feel like being part of the groups of people that tell you that you gotta do this for this other thing to happen. And that, to me, is called a condition. And I think that the universe is unconditional. I think love is unconditional. I think success is unconditional. I think that good things are unconditional. It doesn't require a condition, right? Like, for many times, if we get into the habit of lack and poverty, it becomes, you know, how it is. And it's effortless. Like, you don't have to work hard at being poor. You don't have to work at all at being it. You can just literally sit in your room, in your bed, and feel poor instantly all the time. Feel like you're stressed and you're in the struggle all the time. And you will create poverty completely effortlessly. And the fact it feels effortlessly because it's become such a habit. But it is through your experience. And so how I brought it to Facebook Live, this whole idea of my yoga instructor got me to now thinking about this. It's like, it must be experience, right? It must be practice to be experience. Well, I say things like, I don't really need Facebook Live. I don't care. I don't want to do it. But then I had the prompting. And then I'm just like, well, I'm uncomfortable by it. I don't want to do it. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to do anything that makes me uncomfortable. Now, uncomfortable is not unhappy. And so you have to be okay. You got to be not okay with unhappy, but you got to be okay with uncomfortable, right? You can wear a nice ass pair of like $5,000 shoes that might be uncomfortable at first, but after walking on them for like maybe 5 minutes, they're expensive, right? So they take the shape of your foot, and then it feels like you're walking on clouds. Maybe at first it was uncomfortable, but you acclimated to it, and the shoe acclimated to your foot. And that experience became something pleasant, even though it was a slightly uncomfortable at first. So if you don't know how to walk in really tall heels, you might be like, holy crap, how am I going to walk? And then before you know it, you're running in heels, right? The idea is that in order for you to know whether you have a block around an area of your life or not, you've got to just do it. Instead of sitting here and saying, well, I don't think I have a block, a visibility block. I think I have a visibility block. Neither one of those, whether I think I do, whether I think I don't, neither one of those are really going to help me to really see if there's a visibility block. The only really a way to see a visibility block is to try to become visible and feel the discomfort of that. But see, you can feel the discomfort and just be like, is this uncomfortable because it's new? Or is it uncomfortable because it doesn't fit me or it doesn't feel good? And then you got to give yourself a chance and an opportunity to move past that thin line of discomfort into like, okay, this is really not a big deal. So yesterday, it's just weird how like quickly you can acclimate to something once you decide it's not a big deal, that you just decide that it doesn't matter whether you do it or not. Does it feel fun? You follow that fun. You follow that all the way down. And so yesterday I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do it. And then I did it and it was fun. I didn't feel super thrilled, but I was really happy that I did it because, you know, it's always really cool to declare something and then do it. I know many times we do the opposite. We declare we're going to do things and no, we don't do it. So this is a step forward. And then I know that I was in my wanting, in my desires, in my journaling, in my work. I was like really thinking about this part. I was like, well, what I really don't want to do is do stuff that doesn't feel fun. And I feel that Facebook Lives could be really fun. That still feels fun. Now, you see that I kind of moved from like, okay, I'm uncomfortable, but it doesn't mean that this is bad. And there's a potential in here, which ultimately I know that I infuse the potential, that I infuse the intention into what I do with my frequency. But there's an obvious potential here for me to do something fun. And there's so many things, right? Maybe perhaps there's so many things down the road that I can't see. But today, I actually had kind of fun. Like I felt like I was, I normally feel like a lot of alignment, a lot of really good feels when I'm doing my podcast. And it felt like that. And I knew that it didn't matter whether I did it or not. What mattered was the way that I was feeling. But the fact that I was feeling excited and it was fun and it was like I felt like myself, I knew that that was enough. And nothing else needs to come out of that. Like, I acclimated. I very quickly went from feeling uncomfortable to feeling excited and having fun the very next day. And so this process of vibrational awareness is not something that you need to sit here and dwell on the negative things. This is not something you need to sit here and dwell on like what's wrong. This morning, I went from confusion to pleasure, right? I went from the vibration of confusion, which really begins to feel like you separating from your pleasure. And you start doing the things that don't give you so much pleasure, but you're forcing or you're trying to trick yourself into thinking you want to do them. If you don't want to do something, the best thing that I can offer you is don't do it. Don't try to feel good about making it work. Just don't do it. What if you don't need it? Or what if, because you can do whatever you want, you can just come back to that when it feels good? What if you never need it? See, there's so many potentials, but you are not going to know what that potential is available, like what you're there for, if you don't just constantly try new things that expand your borders, your limitations, right? So when you think about your expansion, think about a balloon that has no real like limit, right? And every time you blow a little more helium, it expands and it takes on more and it takes on more and it keeps expanding and it expands forever, right? And it just keeps going and going and going forever. And the air, you never let it out. It never comes out. You just become more. And you can just take that on. See, I think that when you get too desperate for where's my manifestation? How do I feel better? You're still at the part where you don't understand how important your emotions play into this. You're still at the place where you're not understanding that when you feel negative emotion, you're creating negative things to have more negative emotion about. You know, like, this is like really amping up your sense of responsibility and knowing what you're actually capable of. So I want to invite you to my new program. It's a mastermind. It is called Sacred Billionaires. And we're focused on this idea of doing something impossible. Doing it from this place of feeling like your life is a worthy pursuit. That it, you are the sacred vessel. That you, your life itself is sacred. If the universe did not need your contribution, however small you might feel that is, you would not be here. But if you're listening to this, you probably have this idea that your contribution is probably not small. Now, by the universal standard, everyone's contribution is huge. But it just feels bigger for you. And that's okay. That's a good place to be. But if you're ready to just acclimate to the vibration, right? Now, what's really important about this program is that I'm not going to tell you what you're not. Not going to make you feel like you don't have access to it. I don't need you to have a strategy. I don't need you to have a website or an email list. I don't need you to know where your money's going to come from. I don't need you to carve a path for it. I don't need you to do any of that. All you need to do is acclimate to this energy, knowing that any action in this energy can only give you more results wrapped in the energy in which you take action in. So how good can you feel when you're taking action is more important than the action that you take. How good can you feel before you take action will give birth to the correct action, the most fastest and most direct way to what it is that you want. Now, when we play with this energy, I call it the God frequency, the goddess frequency. This is not the frequency of wealth, of abundance. This is the overseer of wealth and abundance, right? This is the mother, Father, first source, first causation energy. The God frequency is this realm where in the Bible it talks in Genesis, and God said, let there be light, right? This frequency is a frequency that does not require any physical action. This is the frequency of vibrational, I want to say bilingual, but it's multilingual, right? This is the place where what is creative, what is the most creative in the God frequency in this realm is what you say within the Bible, you know, and I come from the Bible in this more metaphysical interpretation, you know, but the Bible tells us that out of your heart, your mouth speaks. Think about that. Connect the beginning of the creation of the earth, according to the Bible story, which is God said, let there be light. This is just pure potential. This is no physical action whatsoever. This is telling the darkness and the lights to separate and collect themselves into molecular structures that produce a certain type of communication, right? Light communication, sound communication. It's a vibration communication. They clump up together and create matter, all sorts and all types. This, in this frequency, in this God frequency, in this, the billionaires, I love billionaires because it's just so, it feels so out of reach. Billionaires is the vibration of doing what's impossible. I mean, come on, just think about that for a second. Can you be a billionaire just being who you are? Can you be a billionaire just by tapping into the vibration? Could it be that easy? Could it be that simple? What if it's a yes and you've been doing it the hard way? And here's what I know, that when you tap into the frequency, the God frequency, the invincibility, all power, all wisdom frequency that you have access to all the time right now, when you tap into that, you are already one with wealth. We are one with all the possible good you can imagine and all the possible good you can't imagine, all the possible potentials that reside in the vibration of what is good for you and what is good for you in this God frequency that makes you happy, that is delightful to you, that is pleasurable to you. As long as you're in this God frequency, you don't need the specificity of a practice or of whatever. All you need to know is to acclimate to the frequency, this God frequency. You can skip you know, I want the frequency of God and I want the frequency of love and the frequency of abundance. You can skip all of that and just go to the top. Look at this. I don't know if this is just incredible, but for me, it just makes no sense with orgasmic manifestation, with utilizing the most potent atomic level energy that's in your body, that is in the most sacred places, most delicious vibration. I don't understand if it's so potent, so powerful, but we don't just use it. Why don't we just use it? And when we do use it, we want to use it on tiny little manifestations. Well, you know, make sure you manifest something that you can believe. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work with align yourself to something that you can believe. It doesn't work like that. I mean, it could work like that if you want to, but it works more like this. It works more like this. I want $1 billion. And then every day, I acclimate to the energy and acclimate to the energy of invincibility, and I acclimate and I acclimate and acclimate and acclimate and keep going and keep going and keep going. And now, manifesting $1 million, $1 billion, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. Because once you understand the vibration, the frequency, how you can master it, how you can shift it, how you can elevate, how you can go overnight from feeling confused, that was in the morning, but you can go from feeling scared, feeling introverted, feeling like, what am I doing? Is this the right? Like all that confusion, you could go all from that, like, oh, I'm pushing through to the very next day, the very next thought, the very next second. Just being like, oh, I'm back in pleasure. And I know how to infuse pleasure into every part of my life. I know how to amplify and get obsessed with pleasure. I know that in the worst case scenario, I need to drop everything that doesn't feel like pleasure, which it could be everything except pleasure. You know what I'm saying? You know? And I double down on what feels good. And orgasmic energy is the fastest, most incredible, quickest, most juiciest, most delicious way to get there. I don't even know why this is an issue. Why I meditate, I do all the things, but if I need to go there really quickly, I'll have an orgasm. Like, that's the shortcut. Just use it. If you go on my Facebook, you can see my today's live. I was talking all about how you can use this really awesome sex magic practice that I use. That's really effective. So go on my Facebook page and you can listen all to the process. You can write it down. You can use it and you can tell me if it works for you or if it helped you in any type of way. Until then, I will see you tomorrow. Love you. Bye.